For everybody else, we are continuing a series called A Way Forward. This summer, we have been spending some time looking through the book of Proverbs. Pastor Dave has been, we spent a few weeks unpacking different things about Proverbs. And I was thinking to myself, what are some of, and this is a moment, you can give you a second to think about this, and you can holler out here, some of your favorite Proverbs in life, whether they are in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, or just like proverbial wisdom that you have heard that you just think is so amazing that you should take a moment and share it. So, real quick, anybody, favorite proverb? I know, I put you on the spot here. I'll let you think about it. Trust in the Lord. Oh, that's the same one. Trust in the Lord. That's a good one. Anybody else? I know. I'm like, okay, I'll tell us a couple and we'll see if you come up with any here. So here are a few I came across. Like, these are not all from the Bible, but one proverb, I came up under a Chinese proverbs, was the journey of a 10,000, the 10,000 mile journey begins with the first step. It's a good one. Famous one from Hamlet, to thine own self be true. That's a good one. An Irish proverb, which I got to do my, because I love just the Irish accent, it's fun, you know, was a, every man is sociable until a cow invades his garden. For us, it would be deer, rabbits. Everyone is sociable till something invades your garden. Thomas Jefferson, who was known for his statements, is known for saying, never spend your money before you have it. That's a good one. I think the book of Proverbs talks about stuff like that. One of my favorites, I shared this with Logan as we were kayaking one day, is if at first you don't succeed, it's a good modern proverb, don't try skydiving again. So it's a good one to remember. And then my favorite proverb from the book of Proverbs over the years has always been, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And so before I knew the second half of that, there was lots of hope whenever I tell the truth. So it took a few years. But it took a lot of years. But hey, it's good now. So an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. It's a good one. So there's lots of good proverbs. And each week we've been talking about some proverbs. Pastor Dave, just kind of a quick review. The first week we looked at a way forward, looking into God's wisdom and the path that leads to life. And, you know, he just kind of launching us into this. And then the next week we talked about developing integrity and, you know, how living the life all the time that God has called us to. Then relational wisdom, how having, you know, how to operate God's way in our relationships. Week four was speaking matters. What we say always matters. It is important. And, you know, and then last week he talked about listening, learning to listen. So speaking and listening and all that great stuff. And we're going to spend the next few weeks as we go into the end of the summer continuing to look at the Proverbs. And so what I thought would be, what should we talk about this week? And, you know, we started out kind of with a little zoom out and then zoomed in. And so this week I actually wanted to zoom back out again as we look at the book of Proverbs. Because I don't know about you, but I remember my first major interaction with Proverbs. I mean, you know, I grew up in the church. I was aware of the book of Proverbs. It was one of those things that, okay, I'm aware of it. And I knew it had good, wise things like an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips, you know. But I didn't really understand it much. And I remember in college, a good friend of mine, we were talking about money because he was a business major and he loved money and he wanted to be rich. And that was like one of his goals in life. And so he said, my father told me, and it worked for him, and I'm doing this. My father told me, if you want to be rich, read Proverbs every day. And I was like, okay. That's a good idea. That worked for like a month, maybe. I think the rich didn't happen, and the reading Proverbs every day didn't happen at the time. So, I remember opening up Proverbs, and all expecting these one, two line bits of wisdom, and being a little like, okay, when do I get to the stuff that makes sense? And so I was like, okay, isn't Proverbs like this? Pieces of wisdom, and I don't understand this first part. And because a lot of times we think of Proverbs as the one to two line bits of wisdom, like one of them is better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. It's pretty good. Nobody likes strife in their house. Another one, Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. That's a good one. So that is the kind of things that, I don't know about you, but that is all that I thought about Proverbs. And it wasn't until later, I realized that there is actually a whole lot more going on in the book of Proverbs than that. And so I want to look at that a little bit and kind of, you know, because if you go in expecting the one-liners, like I said, you'll be a little confused. And so I just want to take a few moments, just kind of like zoom out. Then we're going to look at the whole thing, look at chapters 1 through 9 a little bit with kind of some specific focus on chapter 8 of Proverbs. So there's a beginning note, and it says the Proverbs of Solomon, son David, king of Israel. So it kind of attaches to King Solomon there. King Solomon is in Jewish history. He, you know, if you read 1 Kings, talks about him, talks about who he is, the beginning of 1 Kings and his rule, and that he asked for wisdom from God, and God gave it to him. So he is the fountainhead of ancient Jewish wisdom literature. He is the one, you know, all the Proverbs, you know, they'll say the Proverbs of Solomon. Later on, as you continue to read Proverbs, it'll say, you know, more Proverbs of Solomon, and then it ends with, like, from a different king and some other wisdom in there. But he is the one that is, like, attributed, you know, they're kind of, like, all gathered under him, and he is the fountainhead of Jewish literature, wisdom literature. And, you know, a lot of it's just unpacking and exploring what it means to live in God's world and live it well. What does it mean to live here and do it right? Because who doesn't want to do it right? Yeah? We want to do it right. And so the first chapters, 9 chapters of Proverbs are actually not Proverbs at all. They are speeches from a father to a son. So how many of you remember specifically, like, a talk that your parents gave you? And I'm not talking about the talk, or it could be the talk, I don't know. But, but you remember this, like, your parents sitting you down and like, okay, hey, I got to talk to you about some stuff, you know, whether it was money, whether it was dealing with the car, whether it was any of that kind of stuff. You remember those talks? You know, my son's like, all the time, holy cow. I tell him, I say, hey, you want to go get a soda? He's like, yeah, what do you want to talk to me about? It's not every time, but sometimes. But, you know, we can't, as parents, we cannot help it. We see that in our kids. We're like, we want to talk to you about something real quick. Just, you know, we'll have a little discussion here. This is important. You know, we get that. You know, as parents, we do that to our kids. Kids, you've experienced that, believe it or not, at one point. You'll find yourself doing that to your children. You'll be like, hey, guys, we need to talk. You're being dumb, or something to that effect. And so we've all had that. We've all experienced that. Maybe it could have been at work. You've had that opportunity to pour into somebody's life. They're doing it lousy, and you're like, okay, we need to talk. We need to have that discussion. So the opening chapters of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters, is this poetic thing of a father talking to his son. And he's giving him some advice. And he's explaining why you should be listening to me. And he's like, you know, giving him all the, like, hey, you want a long life. You want to avoid this. You want to do this. You want to do that. And as you read this, it's just this really cool poetic thing of, like, here's what you should avoid, here's where you should go, and they in it pops up some characters. One of them, who is the most famous of these characters, is a persona we call Lady Wisdom. And she actually speaks in her own voice in chapter 8. So chapter 8 kind of stands out from the first 9 chapters by itself. But, you know, she is this one out there, like, listen to me, this is the way you want to go. And there's also what we call Lady Folly. And she's out there also trying to, like, hey, come this way, you know, I've got this for you over here. We also have the fool, or there's other, depending on your translation, other descriptions of this person who is like, hey, you know, travel my way. And so this father and son, he's like, hey, this is how you should live your life. And then you hit chapter 10, and it starts in with the shooting them off one proverb at a time. But it's kind of interesting because it's the way it's structured, it sets it apart from all the other literature in the Bible, really. We have 3 books of what we call wisdom literature. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And there are wisdom literature. And they're a different style. They're not narrative. Narrative is kind of like showing through story how God is working through time and history and through our lives and stuff. They're not prophecy, because prophecy, you know, the prophets speaking to the people from God. You know, thus saith the Lord, thus says the Lord. And so it is a different kind of literature as you explore it, as you look through the Bible. It's often done in the book of Proverbs, done in a human voice. It's like one generation telling the next generation, hey, you need to listen to this. This is what you should do. This is how, it's great because it deals with, as my friend pointed out, he's like, hey, if you want to be rich, read Proverbs. Because Proverbs covers relationships, like marriage relationships, community relationships, how we should live in a community. It covers, as you know, Pastor Dave, we could even go through the list Pastor Dave's got, you know, dealing with how we speak, how we listen, our integrity, how we handle our finances. I mean, it's this very, for those of you who like practical, like, I just want somebody to tell me what I need to do. It's pretty practical, like, okay, here's what you should do. But the cool thing about it that I really like is that it, in one sense, and anybody can do that. You know, we can follow, you know, every culture, as I was researching Proverbs online, it was like, every culture has their wisdom literature. Their, you know, ancient cultures, the Babylonians, the Canaanites, the Egyptians, the Sumerians, and, you know, the Chinese, you know, this, every culture, modern and ancient, we all have these wise sayings that how you should live your life. But the cool thing about the book of Proverbs and what it does is these first nine chapters create the umbrella that everything else falls under. And it's working under that, you know, you should do these things, and here is the umbrella that this comes under. This is why you should do these things. And it all starts with this overarching idea throughout all of Proverbs is this, the fear of the Lord. It appears, it appears over 10 times in the book of Proverbs, so at least once on average every couple chapters, but it may be more than that. I was trying to count them, and I kept messing up. And so I got to 10, and then I know there was a couple more at least. But this whole idea of the fear of the Lord, in fact, in chapter 1, verse 7, it starts with, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And this whole idea of the fear of the Lord, and it was really interesting because I was studying this. Last week, I got a chance to teach a class about worship to a bunch of pastors and stuff. It was a lot of fun. We had some great discussion. And one of the words we actually discussed was this word fear in the Bible. Because this idea of fear, I was curious, so I asked my daughter, and she gave me like this great answer. I was like, what does it mean, fear the Lord? And she's like, I was like, hey, that's a really good definition. Good job. Kudos. So, you know, but this whole idea of fearing the Lord is not, and I do not, you know, because the thing is when we approach the idea of fearing God, we all come with our own baggage, our own ideas of what that looks like, our own pictures, our own version of who God is and what he's trying to do. And this whole idea of fearing the Lord is this idea of understanding who he is, the respect that comes from that. So, like, if you read this word in Hebrew in the Bible, it will be around things where, like, you know, Abraham approached them and bowed to them. You know, it was this whole idea of recognizing the other person and your relation, and you in relationship to them. This respect, this fear, this honoring, this, you know, not afraid, but yet a recognition of who they are and who you are in response to them. It's such a great thing because the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom starts with recognizing who God is. Who he is throughout time, who he is today. You know, we've been singing songs about that a little bit this morning. You know, who he is. He's the same God as, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. He's He's the same. And so that whole idea of fearing, the fear of the Lord, is recognizing, okay, this is who he is. This is who he is, and who am I in response to that? It's such a great thing to recognize as we approach wisdom literature. Because see, when we try to do this on our own, and actually Ecclesiastes and Job, the other two wisdom books, do a great job of like, hey, what about when you do the right stuff and it just doesn't work out? What about when evil does win? What about I followed God and all of a sudden I've lost everything and the whole world's come crashing down on me? What about when I do all the right proverbs and I give all the honest answers and that was not like a kiss on the lips at all? That was like a kick in the rear. What about all that? And, you know, like I said, Ecclesiastes and Job do a great job of like wrestling with that. Like, okay. But when we approach life with like, okay, well, I'm doing the proverbs, I'm doing this right, without the umbrella of what it falls under, then yeah, when things don't quite go so well, it's kind of frustrating and discouraging and crushing. But when we put that under the fear of the Lord and recognize, okay, this all starts with recognizing who God is and responding to him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. It's this, yeah, this reverent fear. I love that, because it's recognizing who God is and who I am and moving forward. And a great thing with that, so wisdom, I love this. And so like, I absolutely did not have to do this, but I love this word. And so like, a few of you know, Pastor Dave and I have been toying around with learning Hebrew together. If you're interested at all, if you're like, hey, I'd like to learn Hebrew, you can do it online. Free online YouTube videos. It's amazing. The lady does a great job teaching. Aleph with Beth. But we've had a lot of fun with it. So there's like this Hebrew word for wisdom that's just fun, because I personally believe that English needs more guttural vowels and guttural consonants in its language. So there's this word, hacham. Hacham, it's just good, right? We need more guttural in English. So hacham, wisdom. And the time we actually encounter that for the first time is in the book of Exodus. God is talking to Moses about the building of the tabernacle. And he says, I have given Bezalel hum. I've given him wisdom to build the tabernacle. I put my spirit on him and given him wisdom. It's like this practical application of knowledge, this wisdom. I've given him not just the knowledge, I've given him the gift of being able to, I put my spirit upon him. I've given him wisdom to do this thing. And so when the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not just what we know, because I know often we get very like, I don't know about you, but I know I get a little arrogant about what I know sometimes. You know, especially my kids, which they are getting smarter, and so like I have to pull out, wait a second, I don't think that's true. And I start looking online, like, is that real? Oh, that is true. Okay, so sorry. I was wrong. It's nice, though, when I pull out the phone and start researching, like, no, I was right. You guys are wrong. So I'm a little louder about that and then the other then. But, you know, but just this whole idea, we love our knowledge. And this is like the information, beyond the information age. We're like in the next generation of the information age, where information is just like candy and we know everything. You know, just spend some time on Facebook and see how much everybody just knows. But wisdom is something totally different. Wisdom is not just knowing, it's that application of that. And, you know, when that's under the umbrella of recognizing who God is and our relationship to him, just think of just how that goes. Because I want to look at something with that. So, Proverbs chapter 8. So we've got this whole, the first seven chapters is the father talking to the son. And then chapter 9 is the father continuing to talk to the son. But chapter 8 kind of changes. And I'm going to read some of it. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can open to Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to skip part of it because it's a longer passage. But I want to just highlight a few of the verses here. So it starts out here and says, does not wisdom call out? Starting in verse 1. Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. And so it's like this whole thing here. It's like, okay, so here's wisdom. Wisdom is like at all the prominent points in the town, at the gate where everybody comes in. She is like, hey, listen to me. And here's what she says. Verse 4. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. And so she's just like laying it out here. Okay, listen to me. How many of you ever been in that point where you're like, you got something to say, you know it's right, you know it's important, and you're like, okay, my wife and my kids experience this. I don't know how many of you, but I don't like talking on the phone. I cannot talk to somebody who's in the same house as me or the same building to me if I'm not looking at them. I just can't do it. They're like, my wife, you know, she'll be doing her hair, my kids will be doing something, I'm talking to them, and they'll walk around the corner, and I'll just stop, and I'm like, I'll walk, I'll catch up with them. I'm like, okay, so, and they're like, what? I was listening. I know, but I got to look at you. I got to like see you. I've got to make eye contact with you. I need to know. This is like, I have, and even when it's not that important, I just have issues. I just cannot do that. I know I have issues, but you know, this is wisdom. Right now she is saying, hey, listen to me. I need you to hear me. Everybody. And she's like, all of you, hear me. She goes on to say, in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. And so she goes on here. I love it because in verse 12, you jump down here, verse 12, she says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. And here it comes again. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So she is just like, hey, this is, you need to listen to me, and here is what I'm saying to you. This is the kind of person I am. This is what you need to pay attention to. And what's really, what I is so incredibly cool. I love this. Verse 22. She continues to talk. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before the deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. So, what does that remind you of? Creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And she's like, hey, before that deep, I was there. I was with God. I was like, I wisdom was there. And it's so interesting because if you look, you start thinking of that. Okay, God's wisdom, this persona of wisdom. And who God is. And you start thinking about it. You look back, you flip back to Genesis chapter 1, and you think about creation and this interaction that the man and the woman had in the garden with the serpent in Eden and the conversation that went there. So she's in the garden. Eve's in the garden. And we know that there's this whole thing with the snake and the tree, and God put a tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of life, and so this other tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and says, don't eat of the fruit. And so we know Eve was in the garden, and in Genesis chapter 3, it says the serpent was more crafty than all the other wild animals the Lord God had made. He's like, did God really say to you, you must not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman's like, no, we can eat of the fruit of the tree, just not that one in the middle of the garden. We must not touch it or we will die. He's like, you won't die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, She took some and she ate it. It's such an interesting thing, because what's going on in here? And a lot of times we just kind of like, this is that interesting story that is kind of weird and kind of like, I don't know what to do with, so I know it, but I just kind of leave it there. What's interesting is this interaction. And we know that then she took some, she gave it to her, to the man who was with her, to Adam, and he ate it. And then they recognized they were naked. There was like broken relationship with them, each other, broken relationship with God. But what's fascinating is, because we often approach this story as like, often, like, I don't know what to do with this. It's weird. But there, oh my goodness, there is so much going on here. We could spend years just unpacking it and its impact and stuff. But just a few pieces here. So this interaction is the same interaction that you and I have. It's the same interaction that we've been having all throughout the history of humanity. You see it through the whole story of the Bible. Eve, in this moment, and she gets her name Eve later. She's called the woman, and he's called the man. So they like, but in this moment, she is given a choice. Am I going to choose the good, the wise that God has for me, or am I going to choose what I think is wise, is the good? What am I going to do? It's the same choice I make daily. You know, am I going to choose the things that I know God has for me, or the things that I want to do right now? You know, it's the same choices you make. It's the same choices everyone makes. It's the same, exact same wrestling that we go through constantly. What am I going to choose? Am I going to choose the wisdom that God has, or the wisdom that, or the thing that I think is wisdom? Am I going to choose the good? And you see it in this moment. She chose what she wanted to do. She's like, this will give me wisdom. This will get me what I want, rather than following what God had for her. You know, we see the same thing with Cain and Abel. You know, I'm going to do the thing that I want to do. You see the same thing often. You know, you read the stories of Abraham and his interaction with different people. Sometimes he got it right. Most of the time he got it wrong. What's really a really fascinating study is you can read like the Old Testament narratives and this whole idea of seeing and taking. Because she saw it, she made a decision, and she took it. And you see this again and again. You see this like Pharaoh seeing Abraham's wife and taking her. Abimelech seeing Rebekah and taking her. David, one of David's sons, saw his sister and he took her. And you know, this again and again and again. People seeing, deciding, I don't want to do the thing that I know God wants me to do. This is what I want to do. I'm seeing it and I'm taking it. And like I said, which can become very discouraging as you're like, oh my goodness, does anybody get it right? And they do. Like I said, Abraham, he messes up a lot, but there's other times he doesn't understand, but he trusts God and does the right thing. And the thing is, it's the same story. We have to decide, are we going to listen to the wisdom God has for us, or are we going to not? Are we going to choose for ourselves? And that's the whole book of Proverbs, is like recognizing who God is. Are we going to do these things that'll help us live in this life and trust in Him? What's truly fascinating is, because you know, then you move on into the New Testament. The New Testament authors took a hold of this and they recognized this. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, he said, it's because of Him, God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus has become that wisdom from God that we need. In Colossians, he writes, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Jesus, as he's on this earth, he takes on that whole, you know, Lady Wisdom's like, this, follow me. I'm what you need to follow. And Jesus, when he's here, he's like, hey, follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. Listen to my wisdom. And it's such an incredibly cool picture of this same voice that we can listen to. The same wisdom. It's in our lives, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to the words of Jesus through Scripture, like choosing what He did. And you know, it is so great, because I was anytime my kids get locked in the car with me, they got to listen to me ramble. And so my daughter listened to me ramble yesterday because I was speaking today and I was talking about it a little bit, just kind of like, okay, what about the, you know, thinking through this. Like, one of the coolest things I think that is so, yeah, I just like to geek out on, is, you know, we started out in a garden there. And here later, we have Jesus in a garden and he's making the same sort of decision. And he says, he's praying, and we can read this, he's praying, he said, you know, Father, if it is at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. And he's even, you know, he's got that moment, he's got that decision, he's like, if it's at all possible, but your wisdom, I'm choosing your good, your way, what you have for me. Like I said, it's the same, it's the exact same conversations you and I have with ourselves as we're raising our kids, as we're dealing with our finances, as we're dealing with relationships, as we're, am I going to choose the way God would have me deal with this? Am I going to forgive? Am I going to trust God with my money? Am I going to trust God with my relationships? Am I going to, you know, am I going to, you know, walk the path that he has for me, or am I not? It's the same conversations we're having. And he is the same God who continues to provide us direction and provide us the wisdom that we need. As the verse says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let her ask. God is gracious and will give. So, as we close here, I just want to really, you know, in our lives, because I know we all deal with this. We're all in different places. This is something we all deal with. It's like, how am I choosing the wisdom that God has? And how am I not? Because I know we all have this. We're all at different places, and God's dealing with us in different ways. But there are times that we're choosing God's wisdom, and time we're like, and especially, you know, our culture. And it could have been the same then, but I'm familiar with this culture. Our culture, really, we are very separated in our day-to-day lives. Like, I can be a different person here, and I can be a different person at home, and I can be a different person on Facebook, and I can be a different person this place and that place and work and this, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that according to the culture we live in. And God says, no, that's not okay, because you are the person I have made you to be, and in everything, I want all of you. I want you to follow me with all of you. But I know that's not an encouraged thing in the culture we're in. And so we fight against that. But God's telling us, nope, all of you. I want it all. Because I have great plans for you, and I've got life. I want to give you life. But it doesn't work if we just kind of piece it out here and there. I'll give God this part of me. And I got this. I don't need to listen to his wisdom. Like I said, everybody who's breathing deals with this. That's why Lady Wisdom's calling to all of humanity. And so, are we willing to listen? And so what I want to do is, I want to pray for you. And we're going to close with this song. And it's a beautiful prayer. It's, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. Your will, my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And as we sing it, I want to encourage you, just make this your prayer today. And in reflecting on where we've been, you know, like I say, if you want to listen to the previous messages, you can always go to our website and listen to them. But just, you know, this week, my challenge for us all, encouragement, is like, God, am I listening to your wisdom in this situation? Am I listening to your wisdom with the people at work, with my family, with my finances, with my relationships, you know, with all of it? Am I listening to your wisdom and what you would have for me? So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much once again for who you are. And Lord, we thank you that we have your wisdom to depend upon, that we don't have to journey alone. We don't have to figure all this out. We don't have to muddle through this without you. But you do give us wisdom, and so we ask for it today. Lord, just ask for wisdom. So, Father, those who this morning are just, you know, dealing with some big stuff of making right decisions, making the wise choices, choosing your wisdom, I just pray you'd help them to do that. We pray for relationships today, for work relationships, for parents and their children, for marriages, Lord. Just pray that your wisdom would reign in those relationships, that you would open up ears and help us to hear each other. Father, for this community of Asbury Church, just pray that you would help us to be wise in our community, to reach out through us with every part of our lives, Lord. Just pray that you would help us to listen to your voice, to listen to the wisdom that you have provided for us. Thank you for your incredible love, and that we can look to you. Thank you, Lord.